One of the things I had to make sure that I made a note to remind you about, report to you about, was how the ministry to the schools went this week. Remember last week you filled out all those cards, all 400 and something of them? I'll just move your stuff over here. Do you remember that? It was a week ago, I know. I needed to say thank you because not only have you provided the context where we're able to do those sorts of things to go in, but filling out all those cards we've now given to over 400 school students at Kendall and Herons Creek and Laurieton Public Schools, invitations to come to that Saturday Kids Club and to come to Christmas Eve, that's when, if they all turn up, brother, you're going to have a great time. 450 kids turn up. Yeah, I'll be there. So thank you for that. And can I say that it has been illustrative of my experience here in general. People tremendously willing to give their time and effort to things of the gospel. So let me encourage you to keep going and to keep doing that. And it was interesting that I wrote down that I wanted to make sure that I said that to people, because then as I looked at the beginning of the passage that we read today in chapter 15 and verse 14, Paul says to that church in Rome something that sounds quite similar to what I've just said to you. Let me remind you of it. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. That's a pretty good rap, isn't it? They are loving, Bible-believing, competent to teach one another. They are an evangelical church. And I just wanted to say, that's us. When I look at you, that is what I see. But the interesting thing is, if they were full of knowledge, then why are we up to chapter 15 of Romans? What did he have to say? What do you have to say to someone who's full of knowledge? There's nothing else to fit in, is there, if you're full? And that's why he says the following comment in verse 15. He says, I have written you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again. By way of reminder, he's saying. He's saying to them, Roman church, full of knowledge, full of competence, all those sorts of things. You're going super, super well. Here's what I need to remind you boldly about. And as you read over Romans, you will see all the things that he has had to boldly remind this full of knowledge church about. And I would encourage you to take the time. It only takes about 40 minutes to read the whole of Romans. You could probably read it faster than me, but you could read the whole of Romans and you'll see, what is he reminding me about? Even if we just picked a couple from now, you would realise, and I would realise, that he's reminded us that every single person on the planet is sinful and under the wrath of God. Now, that's something we know, but it's easy to forget, isn't it? It's especially easy to forget when we look at our neighbours who are a lovely couple with their two kids. It's easy to begin to forget that they're under the wrath of God. It's also easy to forget that God has provided one wonderful way for all people to be right with him by faith in Jesus Christ. He has provided that way for us all to be right. No one's better than anybody else. We're all dependent on him to do it for us. But we forget that when we start treating other people like we're better than them. Or what about the absolute claim that Jesus has on every cent you have, and every resource you have, and every second of time you have? It's easy to forget that, isn't it? You know it, but we need to be boldly reminded that we are living sacrifices. It's not a moment that we give. It's not a church service that we give. It's our whole lives. He has boldly said this to us. And so easy to forget, isn't it? What about being devoted to one another? Have you forgotten? You knew that, but have you forgotten that? That we are to be devoted to one another. What does that look like? What about the love of enemies? The importance of unity? Paul has urged from us a level of commitment that can only be described as radical, extreme. And the question that you and I should be asking is, will we listen to him? Is it worth listening to him? Should I believe him? And that is what the rest of this passage is going to answer. Should you listen to everything he has said to us in Romans? And if so, why should you listen to him? Well, I just have 5 brief points as to why we should listen to him. And the first point is we need to consider what the source of his call, where the source of his call came from. Notice there, if you just looked at verses 15 and 16 of the passage that was read, you'd get everything we're going to say almost. There's more, but really the guts of it is right there. What does he say? He says, I've written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again. So I'm reading a different version. I've written you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me. Now let's have a look at that for a moment. The source of his call is nothing less than God himself. And God himself, you know, as we describe the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three turn up in this passage about Paul, the source of Paul's call. It is a God-given ministry. It is of Christ Jesus, and it is sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's pretty good credentials, isn't it? You don't get a higher call than that, do you? The Queen has sent me. Whoa, geez, stand up straight. Whoa. God has sent me. And in numerous other passages in the New Testament, and not just at Paul's hand, this sort of thing is described. So in Acts chapter 9, Jesus says this, talking about Paul, this is my chosen instrument. Paul is my chosen instrument. In Galatians, Paul will say that God set him aside in his mother's womb for this task. And at the beginning of Romans, he'll say, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, set apart for the gospel of God. It's a special guy, this Paul. Well, he's been commissioned by nothing less than the Trinity. Where is Jesus focusing this instrument that he has raised up in Paul? Well, the focus of his call there, it's in verse 16. written you quite boldly as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. Now, you might be thinking, who are the Gentiles? Are they gentle people? No. The Gentiles are basically anyone who's not a Jew. So if you're a Jew, you're not a Gentile. But if you're not a Jew, then you are a Gentile. You got that. Is there any Jews here? Okay. You're all Gentiles. Gentiles is just the Greek word ethnos, from where we get ethnic. So you and I, we're all ethnic. And it just means nations. But it doesn't just mean nations in the way we mean nations, in that all the borders and things that we've drawn up today. It's every different people group. So you can have tribes and people groups, can't you? This is a message. Jesus has chosen Paul as his instrument, and the focus of Paul's ministry will be every people group in the world, except for the Jews. It'll be the nations, the Gentiles, you and me. But the Bible goes on to describe Gentiles, you and me, with these words. I wonder if you would have described each other in these words. You ready? Barbarians. Any barbarians here today? Yes. All of us. Godless, pagans, idolaters, futile, darkened in their understanding, without Christ, without hope, without God, immoral, degenerate, and here's the one to top it off, dogs. Do you see that in the mirror? Gee, it's pretty full on, isn't it, the Bible to describe us like that? But you think about it. For the Gentiles, they did not have what Israel had. They did not have the revelation of God. They did not know about him. They knew nothing. They were darkened in their understanding. They groped around in the dark when it came to spiritual matters. They didn't know what they were doing. Their practices, their idolatry, our idolatry, was disgusting to the real, living and true God. Well, we'll come back to that in a moment. But what we're saying is that the focus of Paul's ministry that Jesus has chosen him out for is those people, is us, the Gentiles. Paul is our apostle for us. Well, what is he to do? So Jesus has chosen him, aimed him at the Gentiles, us. Well, how do we see his ministry take place? What is it that goes on? Well, it's there in the verses. Keep looking at those verses. It says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God. And this is what we need to see, that we understand the gospel, we understand the Bible, we understand Jesus through the Apostle Paul. And the way we hear the Apostle Paul, well, we can't really go and hear him preach because he hasn't been preaching much lately. But the way we hear him is by coming to his to the word, to the letters. You know, 50% of the New Testament, almost 50%, is in the hand of the Apostle Paul. And even half of Acts seems to be about Paul as he reaches the Gentiles. So it's disturbing, I find, the number of people who I've discovered who are deriding of Paul. I don't like Paul at all. I went to a clergy conference. Now, just remember, clergy conference. And one of the clergy got up and proceeded to say how much they hated the Apostle Paul.
Barbarian,
that's right. It made me fall backwards off my seat. What are you doing? But before we jump on that person who's more honest than us, it's just some things. Well, I like most of Paul. I just don't like A, B, or C, these things that he says. Well, be careful, because you're just the same as that person. I hate the Apostle Paul. And we ought to be very careful, oughtn't we? Because if Paul is Jesus, Jesus' chosen instrument, then if we don't like the tune coming out of Paul's mouth, then who is it that we don't like? You know, if I'm playing the guitar and you say, oh, that sounds terrible, you don't blame the guitar, you blame the player. To say I hate Paul, to say I can't stand Paul, is to say I can't stand Jesus. And notice how Paul describes his ministry as a priestly duty. How is this priestly duty exercised? Well, it's by proclaiming the gospel of God. That is how he is a priest. So Jesus has chosen Paul, aimed him at the Gentiles, and said, now I want you to proclaim the gospel of God. And what's the goal of his call? Well, it's there again. It's in the passage. You can see it. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an acceptable offering, an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. See what is happening. Jesus has appointed a priest, the Apostle Paul, and the task of this priest is to prepare the offering, which is the Gentiles, that's us. And this offering, so the offering used to be an animal, you know, in the Old Testament, the offering was an animal, but now the Gentiles, us, are an offering, living sacrifice. But how is it that we become a living sacrifice? How is it that we're prepared? Well, we're prepared by hearing the proclamation of the gospel of God. What Paul is effectively doing in his proclamation of the gospel of God is making a people holy, set apart, sanctified worshippers, making the godless bunch we were into God's godly people. How does that happen? How are we made? Don't you want to be acceptable to God? Surely you do. Surely I don't even need to ask the question. But you'll say, how can I be acceptable to God? Well, Jesus has said, listen to the Apostle Paul preach the gospel of God. And as we respond to that by faith, as we believe it, we are made acceptable to God. See, the priest of the Old Testament used to take the sacrifice and wash it on the outside. It was all external. But here is a priest who, as he speaks the gospel of God, washes you from the inside. That's why you are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The way you are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, there it is, it says it, by hearing the proclamation of the gospel of God. See, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and sanctifies you from the inside out and makes you an offering acceptable to God. Please note a very important point, and I risk repeating it. People are changed by having the gospel preached to them. This is, Paul is saying here, real, true blue, 100% Holy Spirit ministry. The Word of God. The Spirit means breath. When you speak, what comes out of your mouth? Breath. So as the Word of God comes to you, so the breath of God comes to you and sanctifies. That's why we have Bible talks at church. That's why we read the Bible together. That's why we encourage you to read the Bible at home. That's why we have home growth groups and Bible studies, and that's why we teach Scripture in school. That's why we have kids' clubs and Sunday school and discipleship groups and youth groups, because this is Holy Spirit ministry, the Word of God coming to people. But Paul is in no delusion that he is the power, because the final point, which is all the rest of verses 17 to 22, is that it's not in his power, his eloquence, his ability to speak. He was often seen as not a very good speaker up front. But he says here, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said, by what I have said and done. Hear what he is saying about himself. It's incredible. By the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see him, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. He knows it's Jesus. As he speaks the word and lives are changed, he says, not look at me, he says, wow, look at what God is doing. That is why the very foundation of our ministry here that stems from this church, you know, even our logo is a Bible open with people coming to life out of it. That's the idea. Life comes from the gospel of God, from the scriptures. That is where we will be changed. Well, we've heard a lot from Paul over the last weeks. Today we heard about Paul. And I fear that maybe, because I know from 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock and 6 o'clock, I know a lot of situations that are going on. But I don't know all of them in your life. I know that some of you are going through a really, really hard time at the moment. Struggling even maybe to get up in the morning. Wondering what the future will hold. And maybe it would have been better for me. You may think, how is it relevant that I come on Sunday morning and hear a message about this man, the Apostle Paul? How is Sunday morning going to affect my Monday morning? I would have rather heard some motivating speech to make me feel better, or whatever it might be. Well, friends, what we do when we preach the Bible is that we're saying we actually believe that God knows what we need to hear better than we know what we think we know what we need to hear. And as we go through the scripture, he speaks to us. And what he has said to you today, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is his chosen instrument to proclaim the gospel of God to you. So let me encourage you, read his words and let the Holy Spirit do his work in you. If you say, I don't like the Apostle Paul, then you cut off the Holy Spirit from your life. And what you need to get through this rough time at the moment that you're in is God. You need to hear from him and his word. Well, that's what a full church, full of knowledge, full of goodness, and competent to instruct one another needs to be reminded about. And that's what we need to be reminded about too. Now, friends, I've got to shoot off to Comboyne, but I'll pray and then I'll hand you over to Glenn. Loving Father, we pray that you would help us in these times where as the word does not, where it has an immediate application to our lives, we're not sure. But what we do see is that you have raised up the Apostle Paul. He is our apostle. We pray that you would help us to read the Bible. And through the proclaiming of that message, that the Holy Spirit may work in us. Father, this week, help us to read the Bible more than we did last week, but having the great expectation, not that it's just a chore that we must come to, but ready to hear you speak by your Spirit into our lives and into our situations. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.